Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Chelsea Stratton from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And it's February 13th, which means tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So this is airing, obviously, one day before. Ooh, whoa.
Oh, that's a good sound.
Whoa, we got the little crickets and then the...
I didn't mean to do the crickets, but...
Oh, it was good.
We're sticking with them.
So tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and that's really exciting because we've both been sharing a lot of Valentine's quilts. But first, we are going to start out today with an ad read from Cozy Earth that Mom is going to get going on.
Yeah, we just want to remind you once again about Cozy Earth, and we both have talked about on the podcast about our Cozy Earth products. We both have the sheets and pajamas that we really love. And the pajamas are made from ultra soft viscose from bamboo. And as are the sheets, all products are made from responsibly sourced materials and come with a 10-year warranty. And also, Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating, and I have definitely noticed that. I love the temperature of the Cozy Earth sheets, and we do have a Quilting Life of 35% off site-wide with the code AQuiltingLife. Awesome. So thanks. So
now you've had them through summer, and now we're halfway through winter.
Yeah, and I like them in both seasons.
Same here.
They are temperature regulated then.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. And I have noticed they have some new products. I was just browsing the other day and it looks like they have pastel pajama colors now.
What?
Yes.
So. Is this recent?
Yeah. It's just recent.
So. I am still waiting for the forest green sheets to get back in stock. So once those are back in stock, y'all, those are mine.
Yeah. Okay, and then I guess I'll just keep going because I have the quilts today too. So on the wall behind us is my scrappy quilt. We just shared a video with this quilt recently, and it's a free pattern. And I had a ton of fun going through all of my scraps. And this is it's a scrap buster quilt because the pieces are pretty big. And three different blocks, plain squares, quarter square triangles, and 9 patches. And some fun secondary patterns in there.
Lots of low volumes you were able to use from your stash too.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I went through all of the ones with the ivory backgrounds because lately we've been working with a whiter, more white. And so I thought I gotta use these ivory toned prints up in a quilt, and
it makes me fall in love with them all over again though, because that ivory is such a soft, nice shade.
It was fun revisiting it. And then my friend Vicky actually got this quilted up for me.
Oh, Vicky did it.
Vicky did it. That makes me so happy. Yeah, so that was really fun. And then the binding is from Balboa. That I'm almost out of that. I love that blue that I used for the binding.
The teal.
Yeah. So
I will just insert one thing. I just out of the corner of my eye spotted that Mom put one of our new fabrics in there that we haven't shared yet.
I put 2 squares in.
I only saw one. So
they're close together.
Oh, okay.
You'll find it.
I'm not even going to look because I don't want to give it away right now. But she did sneak some of the new fabrics in there. Billy's literally like looking like, can you see them? Sorry to interrupt you.
There are 2 2.5-inch squares.
I just noticed. Yes. Mom, you sneaky woman.
I was sneaky. The fabric came right before I finished it up, and I was like, I'm putting this
in.
Of
course you did.
So,
of course.
Vicky, I don't think Vicky found them. I had to point them out to her. So, yeah. And then on the table, in honor of Simply Delightful now being available.
It's shipped now.
It's shipped.
It's in stores.
Yes. And so this is Fresh Flowers, and it is my $5 quilt for the month of February in honor of Simply Delightful.
I love it. And I'm so happy it's shipped. So happy.
So excited. Yeah. And Chelsea has some cute bundles in her shop if you're in the United States.
Thank you, Mom. I do. I have some bundles available that are some rainbow bundles. Yes. So thanks, Mom.
Yeah. And then also on the subject of fresh, I just got back from a quilt retreat where I taught a couple of classes. And one of the classes that I taught was Fresh Flowers. And so that was really fun to get to see all of the different fabric combinations that people were using. That was a great class. And then I also taught my country home bench pillow to a great other group of ladies. And
that would be a great class to do a pillow.
Yeah, it was a fun.
Most people are going to complete that
right
in the class.
Yeah, most people got they at least got one of them done. It was so funny. It was a night class and it got cut short because this is the Cedar Chest Quilt Guild in Cedar City, Utah, and it's held in the Heritage Center, which has a big auditorium. Well, halfway through my class, all of a sudden there's this opera music, and we were all looked at each other like, is this like Phantom of the Opera? And
that is my dream.
It was crazy. And then this beautiful music and this gorgeous singing, and it just kept going. And we found out that the local orchestra has a performance. They had this rehearsal scheduled, and somehow
it got mixed up.
The quilt people didn't know they were coming. And
oh my goodness.
So we got
to move out.
Yeah, we ended our class about 30 minutes early because it was loud. You couldn't really hear, but the music was beautiful. And it was like a tribute to rock and roll. So they were doing all different rock songs from Elvis to the Beatles to stuff in the 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, it was kind of fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera is like my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Besides Pride and Prejudice.
So, yeah. And that's what this is, too. I just had to show. Every teacher got this beautiful wood caddy that the organizer's husband made for us.
You didn't tell me the husband made it.
Yeah, and then this little quilt block to hang on the wall.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think he probably made this and she probably painted it. I was just like, wow, what a treat. And there was a jar in there with candy, too, which I ate all the candy. So
there was a jar of candy, but I ate it.
I ate it all. Yes.
This is what I like about you, though. I can always count that, like, we'll go get a treat anywhere we go.
Yes.
Like, always have a treat.
Yes. So that was really fun. And then I know I'm talking a lot, but almost done.
No, keep going.
I mentioned my clover needle threader last time, and I told you all that I wasn't able to find the wooden stands. Well, I found two sources. We'll link them both. This one is really cool because it also has a thread spool holder.
I love that.
And a pin cushion. So, but we will link both of them. They are both great, both handmade by woodworkers here in the United States. And so we will link both of those. And then lastly, one of our listeners, Jill Rose, sent Chelsea and I these beautiful bookmarks. I love how it's fabric. She made them with our Balboa collection, and it will just slip over the page. Yeah.
Look, just like this on my page, y'all. Look at that, but in a book. Imagine
this. What a nifty,
I'm
great
so
idea.
Excited to yes. use this tonight.
Yes. So thank you, Jill.
I have been, so my mom got my girls these little lights that attach to their books, and every night they're in there reading their books. Well, I've been sneaking in and taking them after they go to sleep so that I can read at night and not bother my husband while he's trying to sleep. So now I have my bookmark, and I'm going to have their light that I just need to buy my own, but these are perfect.
It's so funny because I got one for my other granddaughter, and her mother, Chelsea's sister, has been stealing the
light,
too.
Oh, my goodness.
Too.
See? So, yeah. Because we don't want to, like, wake anybody up. It's perfect.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So Billy, I think, has some things that he is going to talk about right now real quick.
Yeah. So I'll start with this week's listener quilt. And this was a great email that we got. I'll go ahead and read it, and I'll pop up some of the pictures that she sent along with that as well. This one says, I've been watching you and Chelsea on YouTube for about a year now. I'm very new to quilting. I don't have a story to tell. My parents are deceased. No one really taught me to sew. I came into sewing because my children were in a band when the pandemic hit and the band director needed someone to sew nose bridges into specialty masks so that they could play their instruments without ever having to touch a sewing machine. I quickly told her, yes, of course I can do that. After initially panicking, what have I gotten myself into? I went to a local quilt store, found it online, and bought the most basic sewing machine to simply get this task completed. They were very kind and taught the absolute basics of how to sew and how to do the job that needed to be done. I'm not sure what happened next, but I sewed several hundred masks for my school as well as another high school. It's hard to say what led me to continue to sew, but I wanted to keep this new hobby. Somehow I found you on YouTube. I'd never been on YouTube before, but I listened to the Quilting Life podcast when I was at orchestra with my children or watched it at home on my phone and was so inspired and felt like I could accomplish anything. I am attaching a picture of my first quilt. It's a collage quilt for a very good friend who plays the French horn. He is a teacher and a leader at an art school here in South Florida. I've also made two quilts for charity for severely sick children. She attached a picture of one of them. We'll put that up there as well. And I just joined Quilts of Valor and I'm excited to make quilts for veterans. I know this is a long email and you don't know me, but I think you should know how much you touch someone's life. And because of that, I've been able to bring many people joy, me of all people. Your influence extends beyond your media audience. It's just a wonderful thing to have people like you in this world. Very grateful for you. And then she's also attached a picture of her planner for January, where she's reviewing her current projects while she's sitting at the airport waiting for a delayed flight. So we'll put that up there as well. That's neat to see.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
That's a great thank you. Email.
It was so fun to read that. And I think it came in while I was out of town and I replied and I said, wow, you know, like I'm just getting to this, but what a great story. So
yeah.
I love how that's sharing. How she fell into quilting. I love how that was her story.
I think
how it was started as a service project and it was kind of like, oh no. And then you fall in love with it. And I think that's a lot of people's journeys is they weren't even looking for it, but it happened.
Right.
And I haven't shown you the pictures yet.
Yeah, I haven't even seen them.
I'll show them to you. They're really, really, really great quilts.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
We have one other listener quilt. And I'll not a very long email here, but I'll pop the pictures up. Just want to share with you a baby quilt I recently completed using your baby pattern and your sincerely yours, your baby. Wait, is that correct? Your baby pattern.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Amy Grant.
And sincerely yours fabric. I love the way it turned out. And so did the recipient. For many years, I faithfully watched and enjoyed your podcasts and YouTube videos. Thanks for the great information and inspiration. So those pictures are up there and thank you as well for sending that in and it looks great.
That one was really fun to get too because I've always wanted to remake that pattern in those fabrics.
Yeah.
And so somebody did it and it was fun to see.
I just have to say something really quick. I have not thought about the baby pattern in a long time, but that was pivotal for us, not only as a team together, but as designers, as just our journey together, when we designed Desert Bloom was the collection that Mom designed Baby with.
Yep.
That was kind of a turning point for us as designers. And so it kind of like brings a little warm spot in my heart because we're still figuring things out. So that makes me so happy.
Really fun.
I've made that quilt like 3 times.
Have you?
Yes.
For friends, for babies?
Yeah, I have it in 3 different, I made 2 and gave them away. And
I need to make some and just have them on hand.
And have them on hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so many different color options you can do. And
What a fabric collection was that from when you designed that pattern?
Desert Bloom. Yeah, we were in Salt Lake City when we debuted it. I was super pregnant with Finn.
Yep.
And
It didn't hit me while I was looking at because I knew that fabric was recent. I just thought, oh, that was a pattern that came out with that fabric. And as I was just reading the article out here, that's when it hit me. Oh, that's from an older collection when you guys started talking about it. Because when I said baby, I was like, wait, am I reading that wrong?
Yeah,
did she say it twice? And okay. So that is an older pattern.
Yeah.
Right.
And Mom actually, the blue version quilt that she originally made is my son's baby Finn's quilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we obviously still have that. Yeah. And
then I think we gave the girl version to somebody.
Yeah, we gave it away, but yeah. I can't even remember to who.
I can't remember. Somebody that you knew had a baby.
Yeah, that one had applique in it, though, and used all the fabrics.
Yeah. That was fun.
Okay, so as I mentioned last week, and the camera is on me now, so hopefully this looks okay, and we didn't really do anything to the background here. This is what the rest of the podcast studio sort of looks like.
I'm making a quilt for that wall soon.
Oh, okay.
Now it's bothering Mom.
Yeah, now it's bothering me.
So this potentially could be a future camera angle consistently throughout the podcast. But yeah. I knew today I would put it on because I'm going to talk a little bit about what I had mentioned on the last episode. And, you know, instead of having the camera just on my mom and sister while they're listening to me talk for a while, I figured, okay, I'll throw a camera on me. So today, like I mentioned last time, there is a way to support the podcast now. And because of actually some other listeners and viewers on YouTube, I found there's two ways to do it. So the first one I want to talk about really quickly is our podcast subscription, and that's for the audio version. So on your phone, whatever podcast app you listen to, starting on this episode, and I actually just put it back on the last one, but there is a link, and it should be right under the top description that says, help support our podcast here. If you click that link, it will bring you to a page where you can subscribe to the podcast. Instead of just following it, you can subscribe, and that will give you the opportunity to donate a certain amount of money to the podcast if you feel that you would like to. So basically, if you receive value from this podcast, if you have learned anything that you've taken on and that you feel that you have received value from in your life by listening to the podcast from my mom or sister, and you would like to give some value back to us for all the different things that it takes to run a podcast, we would be really greatly appreciative of that. But if you can't or you don't want to, that's perfectly fine as well. And that's what I really like about this model, the system. It's just up to the listener. If you feel like you have value and you have value to give back, great. If not, that's great as well. The podcast is going to keep playing for free twice a month, sometimes three times a month. You know, I listen to a podcast. It's a bigger company that produced many different podcasts, and something that, you know, they have a subscription. It was $5 a month. But something that they said was, you know, it's $5 a month, which is nothing. And when I would hear that advertisement, sometimes I would be a little annoyed by it because maybe that is nothing for some people, $5 a month. And they would say it's a cup of coffee, and that basically is what it is. But for some people, it's not. And so we're not trying to stronghold anyone into that, but we're just saying that is an option that's now available through our podcast hosting company. Also, in the future, those subscriptions, we could add bonus content, bonus features to that. And if we do that, and we're going to talk about that, maybe adding something extra, then that would obviously, you would get that part of the subscription. Whereas people that just listen to free, they wouldn't get those bonus episodes, but that might be further down the road. So that's available. And then after last episode, after I'd mentioned that, a few people sent us on YouTube some super thanks. And super thanks at the bottom of the YouTube screen, and I can pop that up right now. There's a place where you can obviously like the video, but there's also a place where there's a little heart with a little dollar sign in there, and that's a super thanks. And it's basically the same thing. If you get value from what you watch that day, you can send us a quick super thanks, and there's different amounts of donations that you can send. So we just wanted to let everyone know that those were available. As we move forward, another good thing about subscription podcasts is there will be a time where dynamic advertisement might be able to come into the podcast, but if you're a subscription member, there would be no dynamic advertisements. And what I mean by dynamic is like basically a commercial on the radio or TV where they just pop up. It's not my mom and sister reading any type of advertisement. It's not any host read things. It's just a Geico commercial in the middle. So moving forward, if we want to avoid those type of things, or if we do get those and you don't want them, then the subscription path is a great way to avoid that. Anyway, I'm a little long-winded here with that, but I just wanted to let everyone know that we appreciate all the support that you've given us for the last almost 3 years now. We're coming up on that, but as it grows and as we look to expand to do better things, these are just some new features that popped up through our hosting company, and I figured, why not just let you know? We're going to keep doing what we're doing, but if you would like to return some of that value, then there is I feel a pretty efficient way of doing so.
Yeah.
So
thanks.
I don't know if you guys have anything else to add to that, but
no, I thought you explained that really well.
I didn't even really tell you guys too much about it, but
no, I have a couple podcasts that I listen to that they always break in the middle with ads, and you know, you really think sometimes, wow, I would pay $5 a month just to not have those ads.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And the one thing I'll say is that I wish they just let you give a dollar. The minimum they let you do is
$3
okay. For us. But because even just, you know, some other podcasts I listen to, like Hardcore History, Dan Carlin, which is one of the most popular ones, they say, we'd appreciate a dollar a show if you can. There's no advertising on his, but he has a lot of listeners. And if everyone did give him a dollar for these podcasts, I think that's pretty fair. So, but it sort of amounts to, with $3 is 2 episodes a month. So that's like $1.50 an episode, or right, sometimes it is 3 on when we have 5 Mondays. So that would be $1 an episode. So,
right. Yeah.
But yeah, so that is there. I just wanted to do that and let everyone know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have 2 topics today, right?
Yes. And I guess I'll kick it off with the first one, because, and this is another tease that we'll fill here. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And so let's start the discussion similar to how we did with the Halloween discussion. You guys can talk about some of obviously last year is when your Valentine's Day fabric line came out. Do you have any other Valentine's Day fabric lines that you are some of your favorites? Any quilt patterns, hearts, quilt decor? What can you tell our listeners about Valentine's Day?
Yeah, well,
that was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, that yours. Came out.
Time flies.
Yes.
I was going to say, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we shared it 2 years ago, but then it came in stores in the fall, remember, in time for right around the Stitch Pink time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so glad we did that collection, because I feel like it's a timeless collection, Sincerely Yours. And now I never have to worry about Valentine's Day. I just get those quilts out. Mm-hmm. So it's been really fun.
I think I actually have more Valentine's quilt for that like specific holiday season than any other like seasonal quilt or holiday quilt.
Other than Christmas.
Probably. Because of the Christmas book. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of even actually now. But just lots of Valentine's quilts. So I'm grateful for that too, because I think it is timeless. And I'm actually still currently sewing with it. So
yeah, me too. I mentioned being at that retreat and teaching that country home bench pillow. I decided to use Sincerely Yours for my sample block, you know, to show the class what to do. In fact, I'll have Billy pop up a picture of it. I'll take a picture. And now I need to make the whole bench pillow in Sincerely Yours, because the block was so cute for the house.
Oh,
so,
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So, and then I thought, all I have to do is take the pillow, you know, I now have a Christmas one, a spring one, a Valentine. I'm just going to have to keep.
Yeah, you have one for every single season.
Almost every season.
That's great.
With this new collection, I can make a fourth one.
She's given hints
for another time of year.
Oh my goodness, she can't stop. Sorry. She can't stop.
March 3rd, right?
March 3rd.
Okay.
No, but I did think to myself after we were sewing with Sincerely Yours, am I done sewing Valentine's quilts? Because I have so many of them, and I'm just not. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my 30 Days of Love sew along. Billy will be filming a video of me talking about that more, and I'm enjoying it so much. And my blocks are so cute.
They are
so cute. Mom has seen them, and it's just, I'm enjoying it so much. We're making one heart block a day is the goal, and I'm right on task. And I'm still sewing with it and enjoying it.
Yeah.
I like sewing for Valentine's.
Yeah.
And decorating for it.
Yeah. We actually had some people over at our house last night, and I have the together quilt hanging over
downstairs?
The banister. Yeah. And so that was the first thing that the wife's, she said, oh, you have a Valentine's quilt.
So do I ever?
I said, yes, I have quite a few.
Well, are there any other fabric lines that have come out recently that, from your memory, that are Valentine's Day themed?
I always like Sweetwater's Valentine's and collections, and theirs are different than ours. They're usually red and black.
Yeah.
But I always like their Valentine collections too. I can't think of anybody else that...
So typically, I have veered off that. I have just collected reds and pinks from other people's collections and made Valentine's quilts. I have probably three other projects. Two go on my girls' beds every single year. They're on their beds right now. And that was just a mixture of a bunch of reds, reds, pinks, purples, all of that. Sweetwater does it really well because they just have their specific style is super, super cute. I don't really lean towards, I would say, themed. I just mainly like color when it comes to Valentine's. And that is what I loved about Sincerely Yours is most of the designs play as a solid or just have a simple design or print. And that's just kind of what I lean towards with Valentine's.
Yeah.
Kind of like how we talked about with Halloween. I'm not like a big old witches, purples and greens in Halloween. Right. I want to do traditional orange, cream and black.
Right.
But that's just my taste. Is that weird? I don't know.
No. I think that's...
Yeah.
It's totally normal. Yeah.
So Valentine's is just usually pretty simple for me.
Yeah, I am. We are actually like, we are taping this the week before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the other day I need to make my Valentine's sugar cookies this weekend.
Oh, and my goodness.
Bring to all the.
Or invite them over.
Grandchildren.
Invite the grandchildren.
Let them. I could make them and then make the frosting. And they could come over and frost them. Maybe that would be fun.
Just pump a bunch of sugar in their blood and then send them home.
Actually,
give them sugar because my girls have basketball games on Saturday and maybe they'll be like extra, like hyper at the game.
Oh, but maybe they could come over after and do the cookies.
True. Yeah, that's true.
So then, when do you take all the Valentine's Day decor down? Do you take it down the next day? Because to me, Valentine's Day has always felt like it's here, it's over, and moving on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or do you leave it up the whole month of February?
I'm just going to say most of February. I keep mine up all of February. There's only 28 days in February, guys.
Exactly.
Come on. Let's keep those up.
And then by the 1st of March, I'm ready for spring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you'll be setting up for spring. But since mom already leaked the date, March 3rd, she's going to have something else up for a little bit. She cannot help herself, y'all. I don't know. But yeah, February. Keep them up all during February. That's what I do.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I was just curious. I don't know. So
I will say this, though, really quickly. It took me a long time to take down my Christmas this year. Like,
I know.
Almost the end of January, and my tree was still up.
Your tree was still there. I was like, this is a fire hazard.
No, but this is what happens when you cut down your own tree. They live forever.
Yeah.
Like, so long. That thing didn't even need water, and it was just thriving. It was, like, totally a member of my household at that point.
I know, but I was there in January, and you still had your tree up. I couldn't believe it.
It was bad. We finally got it all cut down, cut up, used. We have firewood now from it. And so, but yeah, it was bad this year. I have been behind again, people, but I'm working on it.
All right. And now, so the last thing then, and I mentioned this before, is that I wanted some listener feedback from their thoughts on Valentine's Day. Because my thought on Valentine's Day is that it's probably one of the biggest wastes of time of the year. Okay.
Are you going to take Isabel out to dinner for Valentine's?
No.
No.
No, I'm not. And
the comments are going to be coming for you on this episode.
You've got to do something for her.
You just had a birthday party for your dog, and you're not going to take Well, okay, but I'm putting some context in here. Isabel's birthday is also
3 days later.
3 days later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So I will get to that. Is that okay? Yeah, Isabel I'll doesn't mind not going out for Valentine's Day. I'm actually lucky in that we have the same feelings about Valentine's Day. So it's not just just guys that feel this way. There are girls who also feel that way about Valentine's Day, because here's the thing, and you know, I live in the city and I would consider myself to be somewhat of a foodie, but going out to eat, going out to dinner on Valentine's Day in any major metropolitan area is an absolute nightmare. I mean, you That's have to true. Obviously true. Have
that is true.
Your reservations weeks in advance. They overprice things specially for that day because they know yes. they can. It's just yeah. a business move. And you're dealing with crowds and you're dealing with all this different stuff. If you had a significant other that said, "Hey, I don't really do Valentine's Day, but 3 days out of the year, I'm going to surprise you out of nowhere, take you out to dinner, give you a nice romantic evening, bring you flowers or chocolates," what would you take?
Right.
You would. Yeah. yeah.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you want, to me, it's just commercialized. It's, right. I mean, all holidays are to a certain extent. Some have more religious backgrounds than others. But at the end of the day, commercialization jumps into all these different holidays and
yeah.
3 day weekends and all that stuff. So I'm not, you know, we all know how that works, but I just feel like Valentine's Day is just a waste of time, money and energy when you can, there's nothing that prevents you from doing Valentine's Day any other time of the
year. Any other time. I hear you.
Okay. So yeah. that's just sort of my feel. And we had talked about this on our podcast a while ago, and I got some feedback, but the majority of the people that listen to this podcast are female. And so, yeah, I would just hopefully I don't start a firestorm in the comments, but I was wondering maybe we could get some feedback on people's thoughts on Valentine's Day.
I like
and
this.
And if you feel like it's, yeah, some people love it. Some of yeah. Isabel's friends, coworkers, absolutely love it. They want their boyfriends or husbands to ask them a week in advance to be their Valentine. One of Isabel's coworkers got a big bouquet of flowers at work yesterday from her longtime boyfriend saying, "Will you be my Valentine?" And I said, "Wait, it's not till next week." She's like, "I know, you have to ask them to be your Valentine first. And then next week, then you are their Valentine. Then you go out and do your thing." I'm like,
that
wow,
I feel is excessive.
Wow. That blows my mind. I would never.
I will say this, though. I want my other brother, my youngest brother's feedback, because his fiance's birthday is also next week near Valentine's. So I want to see the comparison. I'm going to call him today and ask him. Well, I'll call her and see. But that I get that. I get that. I'm not
a
big,
lot of birthdays coming up.
Yeah, yeah. In the family. It's yes. too crazy.
As a mom,
feel the
though,
same.
I remember being really stressed getting all the Valentines for all of my children's.
That too.
What do you think that I'm going stressful. Through right now?
That was stressful.
I had my kindergartner come home and say, "I want to bring a girl flowers and take her on a picnic." And I said, "You're six."
What?
So Finn comes home and says, "I really like this girl in my class a lot. We could have a picnic. I could bring her flowers." I'm thinking, what high maintenance kindergartner wants this?
Right.
But then I have another girl who's like, "We got to decorate my box for my Valentine's." But my oldest says, "Oh, my teacher's providing bags. I don't need..." My oldest right. does not care. She's just like, okay, cool. But she's also almost going to middle school. Like,
right.
But no, yeah. I'm dealing with that right now.
Yeah, the motherhood part of it and
the
kid
part.
Yeah. With bringing yeah. Valentine's to school and the kids.
And the candy.
Yeah, yeah, the candy, the little
There's
the Smarties.
Candy.
Or not the Smarties. What are the hearts?
The candy hearts.
Candy hearts. Yeah. Every holiday, it's like candy, candy, candy. And I'm like, I got... six month old Halloween candy, you want it? Like, yeah. No, I feel the same way as you. My husband, it's really simple. He just every year, the girls will wake up and he has one flower for each girl in a vase and usually something for me. All I want is a note, guys. I just want a note or a poem or something like that. I just care about reading material.
Yes. Oh, so you would like a card and a poem or something?
Not a card. Oh, I want a simple...
Something written.
Simple note. Okay. Hey, I like you. Or hey, I appreciate you. Let me tell you how big of a word appreciate is in my life as a mom.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You did the dishes? Thank you.
Well, it's I'm very lucky and fortunate because Isabel's sort of on the same page as me. It just has That's never awesome. Really liked it. So it's worked out for us with that. Yeah. But because even prior to me ever meeting her, I was always very anti-Valentine's Day.
Well, and my 6-year-old's about to show you up because...
and there's... There's one last thing I got to say about this, because this could potentially happen in the year 2027. Now, I'm also I'm a big sports fan in general, but I love football and I love the Super Bowl, you know, regardless of my team is in it or not or Shocker. Whatever. So I love the Super Bowl. Now, recently.
Is that next Sunday?
Yeah, that's this.
Yeah.
Well, this. When this comes before. Out, it will have been
the day before.
So either the Chiefs or Eagles. So any of our Kansas City listeners or Philadelphia listeners.
We got you.
Best of luck. You already know the result at this point. But, anyway, the NFL recently had added an extra game to the schedule, which means Super Bowl Sunday could potentially fall on Valentine's Day. Oh. I've looked it up and that could happen. February 14th could be Super Bowl Sunday in 2027.
On Valentine's Day.
And we would have a complete, you know, a movable object versus an unstoppable force between men and women in America.
Oh my goodness.
Where those two things. But
I feel like you're rooting for this to happen. Yeah.
I really am, because I'd love to see what happens. But there is a way that this could all be avoided. There's rumors that the NFL will add another week to the football schedule, which would make Super Bowl Sunday fall on President's Day. Weekend, the following weekend, you would always have that Monday off the day after the Super Bowl, President's Day, which would sort of make sense, you know, because a lot of people call off work the day after the Super Bowl anyway.
But interesting.
That's just something 4 years that could potentially be down the road. And if anyone has, you know, what would happen, maybe some of you have a husband that really loves football as much as I do, but you love Valentine's Day. What would be the negotiation on that day?
I'd like to film like a show showing like 6 different families and their reactions to this, and it cuts to commercial break. What will Roger choose?
Yeah, I mean, if you're someone that's like, no, we have to go out and eat on Valentine's Day. But on Super Bowl Sunday? That would throw a whole wrench into
I'm creating a drama episode with just this subject in it.
So anyway,
let's write it, Billy.
I think that you guys have anything else to say about Valentine's Day?
Yeah, no. I really like our next topic. So let's move on.
Mom is like, let's get over this, right?
You'll see though, Mom. A lot of people will like to hear about Valentine's Day. Okay, so the next one is, and this comes from a listener that wrote in a question. This was a question that we felt that you guys could talk about, you know, in a longer period of time. But she said, I've been quilting for a number of years now. I'm totally hooked and have enough projects planned to fill my lifetime, and I'm only middle-aged. Here's my question. What life lessons have you learned from quilting? And she said, I personally feel that it teaches so many. Never give up. Beauty can come from anything, and where you least expect it are just a few. She said, I'd love to hear what you guys think, and thank you for sharing your excitement and projects with all of us. And Billy, look forward to your next project as well. So
we'll get to it eventually.
Yeah. What I
love this question.
The life lessons that you've taken away from quilting.
Yeah. I this is such a good question. And I always think about it when I go to an event. You know, and like I just did last week, where you see mothers and daughters sitting next to each other, taking a class together. And I think of a mother and daughter in my Fresh Flowers class. And the daughter had made some mistakes with her block and the mother was trying to fix it for her. I mean, it was just so sweet, you know. Yeah. And then you also see these women sitting there and you think they're best friends. And then they're packing up their stuff to go at the end of class. And they, and one of them says, it was so nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And I was just floored. I thought.
You think they knew each other 30 years.
I think they came together, but yeah. They just met each other because they sat next to each other in my class. And there are so many friendships through quilting, I feel like. Yeah, so many. And then, well, I don't know. Chime in and then I'll keep going.
But. Well, you said to one thing that has been one of the biggest life lessons I learned that, so I'm typically very hard on myself in anything and get down about things. I have learned through quilting, it is okay to make mistakes, and that plays into your life as well. It is okay to make them because you will make them. Even right. The most seasoned quilter is going to make a mistake in a quilting project, and it's okay. And I think when you learn that it's going to be fine and the project is going to turn out fine, and in my life, I can definitely apply that. Like, it's not the end of the world. I can still do something and enjoy it even if I've made a mistake. So I love that you brought up that, like that she was helping her.
Right.
To try to fix the mistake, but also just the community from it. Like, that's something in life that we all need. We need companionship, and we need, and sometimes it literally does not have to be your best friend that's there with you. You can meet someone and connect to someone through quilting. And I think that that's taught me a lot too, is my favorite times have been when mom and I have traveled together, and I genuinely enjoy spending time with these women. And it's sad almost to leave and go, you know? So I think those two are just really big things that quilting has taught me.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking too, I used to have this quilt hanging in the hallway in our old house, and I actually have it in a guest room in this house, so I don't see it as much. But I used to always walk by it, and I have some pretty big mistakes in that quilt. But it was a really meaningful quilt to me, and so I had it really nicely, professionally quilted, and anyway. But I used to walk by that quilt and see those mistakes all the time, and just think, you know, that was part of my journey.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you can, you know, be reminded of a past mistake and just say, that made me stronger, who I am.
Better
today for that. And so, yeah, quilts teach us that. They show us.
And there really is no success without some failures.
Right.
There really is not.
Right.
There's no perfect path that you're going to take.
Right. Yeah. And then also, you know, through quilting, many quilts are made to be given as gifts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we also see the power of giving in quilting, and you're giving your time and your talent, and, you know, it's financially expensive to make a quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you just see all of these things about how, you know, how good it feels to give something that costs something, you know, like. It's not easy to give a quilt. It's a lot of work.
Because you are cutting up fabrics to stitch them back together into an intricate design.
Right.
And giving it, that's like a piece of your time and a piece of you, and you enjoy doing that. I love that you brought this up, because I am going to give a little update on Soup for Seniors. If you remember, I talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
And me with a bunch of young women went and delivered this soup. And it is the same exact thing in life. It is so important to learn to give. And 9 out of 10 of those people that we delivered soup to, we found out one had pneumonia. One was really, really sick with something else. One, their dog had just passed away. One had just had eye surgery. And we had no idea. And at each house, I thought that we talked to, some were just lonely.
Yeah.
And at each house that we stopped at, I kept thinking, quilts do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had this experience a lot recently with people with health scares and things that have happened to them. You've given them quilts. And I just thought to myself, they need a quilt too. Like, it felt so good to go do service for someone, and giving a quilt gives you the same feeling.
Right.
And you know that someone is comforted because you gave something that you worked on.
Yeah.
So it's charity.
Charity. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry. Like, that's another life lesson. And it's an important life lesson, I think.
Yeah.
To learn.
Yeah. No, it was fun. The one day I was at this retreat, I actually didn't have a class that I was teaching till evening. So I went into the main sewing room and sewed. I was actually sewing with our new fabric, but nobody knew it because I was sewing triangle paper. So everything was covered up. And so I was just, you know, chain piecing because I had to make 464 half square triangles.
I should have gone with you and gotten a quilt done.
But yeah, so I was sitting there and, you know, mindless sewing like that, I was just kind of listening. And you just hear like how much quilting brings people together and, you know, people that maybe would be isolated if they didn't have quilting, their quilting friends and their quilting hobby, you know, it's just really eye-opening.
And some people even who are isolated, that it's such a great thing to have YouTube and to have the podcast.
Right.
Because we're able to connect with you wherever you are.
Right.
And that's also some sort of companionship that quilting brings in people's lives.
Yeah.
Well, also, just the following a pattern, setting a plan to complete a project. I mean, that to me, that just sort of stands out. Like pretty much anything you do in life, if you set a plan, if you follow the pattern or you know, your game plan for it, that's going to help you achieve your final goal. And I think probably from quilting, you can learn like from literally nothing, from scratch or from scraps or from just a thing of fabric, you can create this piece of art.
Yeah.
And it comes from following those steps.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just these fabrics were just all in bins and on my shelf a month ago. So, yeah.
And look what you made with it. I do have another important one I think quilting has taught me. It's taught me that you can start today. Your passion, you do not have to start when you're 10 years old for quilting to be your passion. And this is anything in life. If you want to start doing yoga, you can do it anytime in your life. If you want to start being a quilter, you can develop a passion at any time in your life. And so anyone who tells you it's too late, they're wrong. And I think that message needs to be known because a lot of successful people didn't even start their business till they were in their 40s or 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never too late.
Yeah.
You can start anything. This applies. If you want to be better at cooking, if you want to be better at tennis, it applies to anything. And I think that's what it taught me too, is it wasn't too late for me to start quilting when I started quilting.
Yeah.
It wasn't too late for me to start a business when I wanted to start a business.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too late to start a podcast either.
Nope. Nope.
There's never a bad time for you to start something new.
Right.
And to develop a passion for something.
Yeah. And well, if there's one good thing that came out of COVID, it's that a lot of people started sewing and quilting.
Yeah.
Because they were home and forced to be home and nothing to do. And, you know, what great things have come out of that. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know of people that have gone to medical school in their late 40s, you know, it's never too late. And
finished a college degree when they're 70, see it in the news. It's
right. So, but yeah, a lot of people don't even start quilting until they retire.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the ending of one chapter and the beginning of a new one for them. It's just never too late. You guys don't ever think that at all.
I know that I'm grateful that I have this in my life. I can't imagine my life without quilting.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, grateful that my grandmother was able to share that with me, but she didn't force it on me. You know, she waited for me to come to her. So.
Well, and I kind of like that she gave you the tough love of it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to make this cool for you, but I'll teach you how. I'll give you the tools and the guidance.
Exactly.
How. And I feel like that's also like my mentality in trying to raise my children too, is sometimes it's easier to just do it for them.
Right.
And I've seen that with one of my children this year, and it has been a lot of work. But guess what? She's doing amazing in school now. Like, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
But she still has to work really, really hard every single day. Yeah. So.
Oh, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day.
I know.
Teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Right?
Thank you, though.
I came up with that all on my own, by the
way. Oh, yeah.
Taking that credit. But I just think quilting, it really has benefited me. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't just been solely just encompassing quilting. It has been lessons in my life. And yes. You can't deny it.
Right.
There's just so many beautiful things that come from quilting.
Right.
And I think that
was a great topic.
Yeah, that was a great topic.
And I feel I don't have the person's name who sent that question in on this sheet. So
thank you to whoever
you are. And that really great question. And that was, you know, led to a great topic, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, we might have a lot, but if you have any comments on that, other life lessons that any of you have learned while quilting, please feel free to share those. I'm sure that would be a great topic of discussion as well.
That would be fun to read all the comments.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminded me, and I hate going back to the thing I was talking about, but those super thanks, if you send a super thanks, it's a comment and it automatically, we don't get to answer every single comment or maybe even see everyone. But if you do send a super thanks comment, we will respond to that. I forgot to mention that. There will be a response from us from our YouTube channel, either with an answer, a thank you, and we will see that comment because those are highlighted and sent to us separately from all the other comments. So if you want us to see something for sure too, that is a way to get it seen. So. But anyway, yeah, I think this would be great to hear from other people as well.
Yeah, what you have learned from quilting.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'd love to hear that. I loved the topics today. Thought they were wonderful.
Really fun. And happy Valentine's Day, everyone. We will be back in 2 weeks on Monday,
February 27th.
Yes.
Right before the end of the month.
Right.
So exciting stuff. And we'll probably be giving a few hints to a new collection coming soon in that episode. Can't share anything, but
we could, possibly.
Mom will not be able to contain her excitement, obviously.
Yes. Well, once again, thanks so much for stopping by.